right. I think it was 99% of the proposed school budgets throughout. With approval here to discuss as far as the budgets and everything else, we'll break it down. Bob Schneider is the executive director of New York State School Boards Association. Always great to have him back, sir. I would imagine many are pleased over this, huh?
Good morning, Jay. Yes, our organization and statewide, the school districts are pleased that that high rate of 99.2% budget passage occurred this Tuesday. And you know, Jay, that trend is in line with what we've seen since the tax cap started in 2012. We've seen a lot of 99, high 90% budget passage. Which is a good thing, naturally, for the public education system and all the students it serves throughout the state.
Yep. When you look at the dollars in play here, you're coming out of a pandemic. I would imagine a lot of it is going to make up for lost ground here in the learning aspect of these kids, no?
Yes, absolutely. If you look at the good news is on the tax levy increase statewide, it was 1.78% versus a trailing average of 1.90%. But there's two things that are driving the spending increase, which was 3.74% on trailing average of 2.34%. So that went up. But there's two things that impacted that. The costs are rising. You just take fuel as an example. The consumers at the gas tank, they get hit pretty hard. Think about fueling buses and classrooms when it starts getting hot, cold. To heat those classrooms costs a lot of money, but that's one part of the equation, rising costs. The other part is we are in this restoration phase, which you saw last year coming, or hopefully we're coming out of this pandemic. It seems like we are, but we had to restore a lot of academic programs that were trimmed during the pandemic, including electives, art, and music. Schools are having longer days, instructional days. They're planning for more summer school investment. There's the learning loss issue, to your point. We have to get these students back up to speed. So there's a lot of investment, both personnel-wise and infrastructure-wise, for these students to support them. Don't forget, we have the guidance counselor issue. We're hiring more of those and connecting with psychologists in order to get the students with mental health issues or issues at a certain time. They can talk to people, and we can take care of them. The school is a lot different than when we went to school way back when. There's a lot of other factors that school districts are involved in, and therefore, you know, this money is needed to do that, to fund that.
Mental health aspect, and especially after what we saw last weekend in Buffalo, you know, you kick going back to when he was 16, and mm-hmm. it just kind of, you know, accentuated the fact that these dollars hopefully will provide a lot of services, Bob, throughout. And you know, hopefully maybe with the extracurricular activities in play, maybe a little more. Counselors, I've always said, you know, you have to have more counselors, social workers, you know, maybe attendance officers. You know, there's a lot of stuff. I'm hoping that money goes into some of these areas.
Absolutely. We see that those investments are being made, and it's in personnel, and it's in technology also. There's a lot of softwares and applications out there that can support the system, if you will. Attendance records can be tied into grade databases, other systems, you know, other software systems can all come together, and that's going to help the personnel on site to make sure they can see what's going on with a child real time. So we are investing in personnel and the platforms and other things that support that student in the school building during the day.
We're talking with Bob Schneider from the New York State School Boards Association, putting a bow on things regarding the school vote and the budgets and board members and everything else. Do we know, as far as those who sought approval to override their property tax caps this year, do we know how many districts were in play across the state?
Yes, there were 17 districts in play, which is a normal rate, if you will. We've seen some years mid-20s and sometimes a little under 17, so probably about the average. Of those 17, we had seven that were going to override due to a negative tax cap. But the interesting thing is, Jay, 88.2% of those 17 districts, the override occurred. The budgets were approved. And the override meeting, 60%, of the community has to vote yes on the budget for it to pass. And that was interesting to see that 88% had passed, and that's a record.
Yep. And I know that where budgets were defeated, the districts, you know, will put forth again. Do we have a date on that in June?
June 21st, and Okay. Traditionally you see a lot of those do get approved the next time they go back and they work on the budget, present a new budget to the community, and the community hopefully will come out and vote. A large amount of community members will come out and vote, because we did see voter turnout. There was an uptick, we're hearing, around the state, which is always good news.
As far as board candidates... I found it interesting, more emphasis on that, obviously more focus around the country as far as curriculums and what's being taught. I think parents were a little bit more engaged. Did you see that as far as the results are concerned in that area?
Statewide, we saw that there was an average of about 1.46 candidates for each seat up for election. Now, that's on par with previous years, ran about 1.4, 1.3. It's in line. It's a little up. So we would have to look in pockets in certain school districts. Certain districts had unopposed seats, but other districts had pockets of very hotly contested school board seats. You could have, I think there was one district I had read about, I think they had 12 candidates for four spots. So it really depended on where you were.
And it's interesting, because when we analyze what happened here on Long Island, the elections drew over 203, almost 204,000 voters here. And that was a 22% bump from last year, according to an analysis I read. So, you know, that's how much people were engaged as far as some of these school board elections, you know?
Yes. Yeah, we're thrilled with that. I mean, the more voters that turn out, the better for us. I mean, this is democracy at its best. Local control, local school boards, local budgets. And we see voter turnout go up, we're thrilled with that. And I know that many and most of these voters are informed voters, and they are reading about that budget before they get there into that booth and make that decision on both the school board and the school budget.
As far as the extracurriculars and sports and everything else, you know, a lot of funding going into those areas, hopefully people can be getting back to normal there, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And we're hopeful on the funding side with the budget, Jay. This was, you know, the reason that 1.78% tax levy was lower than previous years is because all the funding we received. Remember, we had a state aid increase. We also received the second installment on that foundation aid money. And also we had stimulus money, which can be applied to many of the things the school district has to pay for operations. There are certain amounts earmarked for learning loss and things of that nature. But we've got a lot of money in the system. But I want to go back to those two points I said earlier. You have rising costs, just like the consumer, but more importantly, we're restoring a lot of programs, and we're beefing up our staffing so we can support those students not only in that classroom but during the day and all the things that a student needs to have a good academic career in their school system, K-12.
They're concerned, though. I mean, this is kind of an unprecedented year when you think about it. Now, listen, you got a $220 billion budget for the state, $14.3 billion heading to education. But, you know, you look at everything involved. You had a lot of government-type funding and whatnot here. But, you know, you can make the case the state, you know, could be in some trouble here as far as spending and whatnot, and taxes. Is that a concern going forward, being the fact that this is kind of one of those years, you know?
I agree to a certain extent, but we do have the legislature has promised that they will pay that third installment next year on the foundation aid money that was due us from previous years. The interesting thing is Governor Hochul has said in the out years there are reserves in the state coffers, if you will. So we're going to work hard with the legislature and encourage them to continue to fund that at that baseline, that new baseline, if you will, because it's important. The investments in public schools are so important. There's so many good things that are going on during the day. And let's face it, this is our future economy. These students are being educated to, you know, be successful adults and support the United States and the world as far as whatever they choose to do in the future. So it's important that we invest in that future, and we're hopeful that the legislature understands that. But we are in a, I hope, a good period, in the sense that that reserve will help, some of that money could go to fund education, and we do have the revenue on the state side to support the education system in the future.
Anything new as far as what used to be called Common Core with math and English and mm-hmm. 3 through 8 mm-hmm. grades,
mm-hmm.
As
mm-hmm.
far as, you know, where we're kind of at in that regard there?
Well, I just think the state education department is going through a process and looking at measures for graduation and things of that nature, trying to, you know, make things more applicable. We have to focus in on several things in the education community. One, you know, not all students in the public education system are meant to go to college, and the trades are so important. There are so many great careers in career technical education. You know, there's two big BOCES down on Long Island that offer those services for students that would prefer to do things in the trades, and it's a great career, and we have to focus in on that. We have to recognize that, and they're looking at and the new graduation measures, and final recommendations will be forthcoming, I think, later in the year.
One note, as far as here on the island with West Hempstead, they turned down their plan
mm-hmm.
of, I think it was almost $72 million. You know, they'll have another one in play here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure, you know, you've known the ins and outs of those regions, in particular West Hempstead. Is there any recommendation as far as how to handle a little bit better what goes on there? You know, a lot of people are struggling and whatnot from an economic side, can't really see the light of day when it comes to these things regarding school mm-hmm. budgets. What kind of advice would you give an area like West Hempstead?
Well, I think, you know, they have to work, the board has to work closely with the superintendent and the community to understand the community needs. And there is funding out there to support them, but unfortunately certain districts, they don't have a very good tax base, so they rely on the state aid money. Now the state aid money is very good, and hopefully they can work on that budget, you know, and the community can understand where all the money's going as far as supporting the needs of the students, and the diversity within those school districts need to support every child. You know, we have to make sure they're focusing on that child's development, that child's education. So they really, I think, community engagement as far as understanding what the budget stands for, and they're probably going to have to change some budget items, I would assume, before they bring it back June 21st. But you know, there's funding out there, there's opportunity out there, and hopefully the community next time will understand that budget is important to keep those students learning. There are issues that have to be overcome, but we see a better funding situation, Jay, versus remember 2 years ago when we were starting in the pandemic and the governor was saying he was withholding state aid, he might have to cut state aid, and then, you know, districts reacted and they cut staffing. Hopefully the districts, Hempstead, West Hempstead, can have enough money to staff up, get the right, you know, additional people in those school districts to support those students.
And a final one here, you know, you look at all the regions, I mean, everybody did really well here, you know, from mm-hmm. the island, Lower Hudson mm-hmm. Valley, Mohawk Valley.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can go to the Capital Region, of course, Central New York, you know, the mm-hmm. Cortland area, Key here, Finger Lakes, you know, just to name a couple here. But you know, when you look at all the regions, it was amazing to me to kind of see everybody really on the same page here, you know? I mean, when you think about it, I mean, there was so many 100%ers as far as, you know, all the pass-fail type situation.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting to me that really every region kind of prospered throughout New York State on this.
Yes, absolutely. You know, as far as the budget passage, absolutely. It shows that the local communities support their school district. They understand the importance of the public education system in their community. That's good to see. And like I said, we've seen that all along. And of course, the tax cap keeps it, you know, at a stable rate, stable increase, that type of thing. So yeah, we're thrilled that we've seen this across the state as far as the passage of budgets. So now it's time for us to roll up our sleeves and get back to the things that we do, continue to do, is educate these students and support our communities. That's the important thing. I hope moving forward, there's more stories about school districts that are positive versus the national narrative we hear about curriculum issues and other things that you're fully aware of. Let's get back to focusing in on all the good things that students are learning during the day and how they're engaging in civics, civility. They're learning a lot of new things. They're leveraging technology to really do some neat things in the classroom, like South Huntington Union Free School District. They acquired some really amazing, cool virtual dissection technology that allows students to manipulate 3D images of human bodies to learn about anatomy and physiology. This is like at a medical school level that these students are interacting, and it's pretty cool how they're using technology, leveraging that, and these students are learning a lot. I mean, there's so many examples of all these good educational systems and programs that are enriching students throughout their career in the K-12 system. So I hope we can get back to that, Jay, eventually, and really focus in on what's the most important thing, developing these students, because they will be contributors in the future to this country and this world. That's important.
Of the children exist, no, without a doubt, as far as water halts.
Sure. Yes.
Always good having you on, giving us the updates. Mm-hmm. We'll follow everything and look forward to having you back next time.
Awesome, Jay. Good speaking with you, and I'll talk to you next time.